Okay.
If you can't hear me, please tell me. Let's discuss a case like this, which of course is a continuation of things which we've learnt, but not exactly the same. Reuben and Shimon both are sellers of retailers of meat, frozen meat, and they order their meat from the same wholesale. They order the same type of meat. They live in different areas. They don't really compete with each other. They have different customers. So they order the same type of meat from the same wholesaler, but they don't compete with each other. The only difference is that Reuven orders 35 kilo of meat and Shimon orders 45 kilo of meat. So the wholesale sends his delivery boy to deliver the meat to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven gets his package, Shimon gets his package. Reuven receives his package as normal. He's been doing this for a long time. He takes it in, he signs it off, he received it, he gets his meat. That month he has a customer walks in as he gets the delivery of the meat and says, I have a very big order to make from you. What would you like? Oh, I would like 35 kilo of meat. I would like 35 kilo of meat. And Reuben doesn't usually get such orders. Obviously, he takes the meat, divides it up normally, and dishes it out according to customer needs. But here Reuben has a customer, as he gets his delivery of 35 kilos of meat, who comes in and says, I would like 35 kilos of meat. So Reuben says, you're lucky. I wouldn't be able to fulfill your request on normal days, because to have such amounts for one customer is unlikely. But you know what? I can give you the delivery that just came in, and I'll order straight away a fresh delivery who'll come tomorrow. So here you go. This is 35 kilos of meat to you, my customer, and he passes it on. And he gets paid accordingly. Phones up to make a new order. Not immediately, a few hours later. And then the wholesaler says, I was just about to phone you. Why? Because there's been a mistake. Instead of delivering 35 kilo to you, which is your normal order, Reuven, we delivered 45 kilo, which normally goes to Shimon. And it was 45 kilos we delivered to you. Reuven doesn't know what to do. He received what he thought 35 kilo on. He passed it on to a customer, and he charged the customer for 35 kilos of meat. And now it's revealed it's 45 kilos of meat. No way of contacting the customer. Doesn't know who he is. So now we're in Basin. And we have a claim between the wholesaler and Reuven. Wholesaler's claim is that you took meat which you didn't pay for, not yours, and you damaged it. No longer exists. You only paid 25. Reuven's tying it back, but I didn't get any benefit from it. Says the wholesaler, but a mazik is chayiv even without any benefits. He goes and damages something even without any benefit. He's chayv. So you're chayv to pay me for the damage that you caused of 10 kilos. Sometimes, yes, sometimes no. But when he sees delivery, he doesn't check it. What he does normally is that he divides it up, and that way he knows he's got 5 kilo here, 4 kilo. Well, as he sells it out, he knows how much he's selling. Here, he didn't. He assumed he got 35, and he passed it on with that assumption. Now, let's try and first bring our classic case and see whether it fits into our classic case. The classic case is the Yesomim come in. The father's just been nifter. They come into the house. They see a cow. They make the assumption the cow belongs to the father. They shecht it and they eat it. They find out afterwards the cow did belong to the father. It was borrowed. Says the halacha, they're not chayv for damages because they have no reason to suspect that it didn't belong to their father. They're not mazik. The Torah gave them rishus to do what they're supposed to do with a cow, shechet it and eat it, even though it ends up being not theirs. They're not chayv for damages. Can we say that same svara over here that Reuven, yes, he had all the right in the world to assume what he assumed, and he's not chayav for any damages that he may have caused to that meat, piece of meat.
Shechting is different than selling.
Correct. Not the same shechting.
So he's selling and getting money from it, and in theory he had a right to do it, but maybe that money proportionally has to go back to...
Now how much money did he get from it?
He got based on 35.
35, so...
You can divide that up as if it was 45. And I'm not saying you have to, but that makes it different than the count for all
35.
So it's not comparable because with the cow, no one expects to check the lineage of the cow when it comes into the house. Look, is this cow for my father? No, no one suspects that. But when you order meat based on weight, you can find out a mistake easily by measuring, and you can check. And therefore, it's not the same as a cow. So it doesn't fit into our classic case of the leniency of the release of the cow. It's not the release of the cow case. So what case can we come into? Let's try and compare it to the case we brought last week. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'll remind everybody of this. Hamocha dova shahoya mum b'mech. Somebody who sells an item which is blemished. V'osa bo halokeyach mum acher. And the buyer made another blemish on it. Kutim shiyota halamum. Before he even knew that it was a defective article. Im osadova shadaka laso spotter. If he did something which is normal for a buyer to do, then he's released. He doesn't have to pay for the damage he caused. The extra damage he caused, he's released. But if he did something very strange and damaged it in a way which is not normally done when a buyer buys something, he can give back what he bought, but he has to pay for the damage he caused. Said the Nesivus last week that we're talking about where you can check beforehand. The buyer could have checked before he did anything to investigate whether it was defect or not defective the article they bought. But he didn't check. He could have checked, but didn't. Because he could have checked, therefore any damage he does which is not normal, he has to pay. But if he does something which is acceptable and normal for a buyer to do when he buys articles like this, then even though he could check, there is still no release, and he doesn't have to pay for the damage he does if it's normal thing to do. So last week's case, we said it's normal for somebody to buy a sefer to write his name in. So to be hired for damage to the sefer for writing the name, he doesn't have to, even although he could check the sefer.
It's normal for a retailer to sell food.
So therefore, does it fit into this release? Didn't fit into release of the cow, because the cow you don't expect to check. But does it fit into this release, our case? That it could check, he could have checked the weights, he didn't check the weights, and then he did something normal with it, which is said, sell it. Is he have this release or doesn't have the release? Is it comparable to this case or is it not comparable? Yes. When you give it to somebody who's going to consume it, that's also called damage. Put it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is also called damage. No, but he received 10 kilos, which he wasn't supposed to receive. And what did he do with his 10 kilos, which he wasn't received? He puts it in a situation where it doesn't exist anymore. Which means he damaged those 10 kilos. Then does he get a release from the case over here where it says you damage an article which you buy, which you could have checked and therefore avoid damaging, but you didn't, but you damaged it in a way which is acceptable to damage when you buy an article. Put in your name. That's not what the receiver said, does it? The receiver said, you receive an article which is not yours. You think it's yours, but it's not yours. Why is it not yours? Because it's defective, so therefore it's not yours. You're giving it back. But before you realize it's not yours, you damaged it. Says the receivers, you're not going to pay for damages which is acceptable for a buyer to do. For ones which are not acceptable, he does have to pay because it's not his. The other day it's not his. But ones which are acceptable for a buyer to do, he's not high. So therefore, does that fit our case into that category or not? That was also discussed. Not an intrinsic necessity. Sometimes, if you consume it in a way, let's say, ends up being it was an availus at Trafus, it didn't realize, you can still receive your money back, even although it doesn't exist because you ate it totally. That is not necessary for the actual halacha of the Shulchan Aruch over here. We're discussing it's not your article because it's defective. And you damage it. Either you damage it partly or you damage it totally. But at the end of the day, do you have to pay for that? It depends. The damage you did, whether partly or totally, says the receivers, is you're off the hook if it was acceptable for a buyer to do such a thing. If it's not, then he's not off the hook. Does our case fit into that release or not?
It will be normal for a shopkeeper to check his goods with the receiver before
But at the end of the day, if you decide not to keep it because of the Mecca task, it's also not yours.
What?
And if you decide, in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, to return the item, meaning that it's not yours, even from the beginning it's not yours when you decide to return the item. So therefore, when you damage it, you damage an article which is not yours, and you don't have to pay if it's acceptable. Correct. Correct, if it's not your... If it's not your fault. Yes.
You have the option.
The concept of returning is just a way to say it's not yours. What's the reason? It's not yours. In both cases, it's not yours. Right? Because the 10 kilos wasn't supposed to be yours. Or it's got a blemish and therefore it's not yours because you're not interested in it, so it's not yours. And both cases were saying you damaged it. Did you damage a normal way? You're off the hook. If you did damage a normal way, you're not off the hook. Are you released or not? Do you have that release over here? No, we're not interested in the money back. Over there we're talking about, I have an article which is mine, which you damage. Why is it mine? Because you're not keeping it, you're giving it back, so it's mine. You damage. Do you have to pay for the damage you did on my article? It says, if it's acceptable for buyers to do such a thing, then you don't. Why? You said the logic. When I sell an item to you, I am also saying at the same time, as go ahead, take this item, and put your name in it. Go ahead, do a normal thing, which when you buy items, do. Therefore, you're off the hook, because I myself, who own the item, is saying, go ahead and damage it in this form. If you do something strange, I never told you to do that. So therefore, I'm asking, that's my question. Is our case fitting into that release or not?
You're damaging it, and I want to suggest it is a normal way to sell it or sell things, but he has nothing to return. We need to return it.
Why do you need to return? 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 For the halacha we're talking about is not necessary. Return, I told you, if you get, you ask for kosher meat, and you get delivered to Nevela Delisa, and you go and eat it, nothing to return. The halacha is you can get your money back because you didn't get what you asked. You damaged it? No, because you damaged it in a normal way. You don't have to pay for it. And you get all your money back. So you see, even in the case where there's nothing to return, and you damaged it, but you damaged it in a normal way, you still get all your money back. So the question is over here. Is our case, come on to that, the leniency. What's the leniency? You're saying, I'm telling you, take this piece of meat, eat it. Take this safer and write your name in it. I, the owner, tell you that. And therefore, I'm telling you, damage it in this form, and therefore I can't charge you if you do it. But if you decide to take the safer and pour coffee all over it, then of course you're not released. I didn't tell you when you buy a safer to do such a thing, and therefore you would be hyped.
So there was like a...
After 5-10 minutes of talking, we finally hit the nail on the head. Why it should not be the same leniency and clause release over here? Why? As you're pointing out, the release clause is based on some sort of logic. I, the owner of this article, sell it to you, and tell you, go ahead. Who thinks it's a normal for buy to put your name in it, go and eat it if it's food, fine. And therefore if you do that, even if it's mine and it's never yours, I can't charge you, because I told you to do that. But here, I told you to take the extra 10 kilos and sell it to somebody. I told you to do the extra 10 kilos. Who told you to take this extra 10 kilos and sell it? Who told you to do that?
You gave it to
Who's you?
Wholesaler.
Who?
The wholesaler gave it to
him. Did the wholesaler give it to him? Who gave it to him? Who gave it to him? The delivery boy. The delivery boy made the mistake. No, not the wholesaler. The wholesaler gave a 45 kilo package and a 35 kilo package. The delivery boy made the mistake. The delivery boy made the mistake. I'm not discussing that. Delivery boy made the mistake.
Isn't he a shliach of the seller?
It may be a shliach, but he's not a shliach to make mistakes. Yes? So therefore, did the owner of this item say over here to the person who received the goods, go ahead and sell these 10 kilos? Did he say that? No. He never said that.
But he said,
never even thought about it. Never even thought you had it.
He
thought that Shimon...
He said, go ahead and sell what I delivered.
Yes, but I didn't deliver this. I didn't deliver this.
No, we didn't deliver this.
Yeah.
So
therefore, to say it should come under this clause or release that we're saying now of the owner himself is telling you to do it, that is very hard to say when the owner did tell him to do anything and it was a mistake of the delivery boy. So we haven't got the release over here of the cow, and we haven't got the release over here of the defective article case. That was in, yeah, maybe that applies. We'll see in a second. Yeah, maybe. Correct. But to be released from damages is not just to be a representative.
Soma
for the shirk, but the shirk made a mistake. Okay. But it's not exactly, you can hear a difference. You can hear. To be released from damages, the owner himself had to tell you, damages. And I'm not going to charge you. But if somebody else told you to do that, even if he happens to be a shliach, who says that you have the release in the halachas of damages?
Doesn't Reuven have responsibility? A fee is to actually weigh it before selling it. Because what if it was a mistake and it was only 30 kilos instead of 35? So then he would be stealing from the customer.
Correct, but then he's made an assumption that the 35 fee received 35, but they handed it over to the person who made the
offer. Wouldn't they? Wouldn't hear about it.
He would hear about it, like you say. Okay. So, in fact, this is not a shaila of nowadays. It was a shaila of nowadays. The case of Basin. But the shaila already arose a few hundred years ago. From in the time of the Masham. Masham, if you look in the tshuva over there, in Chelek Dalet Simon Chamsayim, he has come up the same scenario. His case, again, two people asked for delivery and they got switched their deliveries. And this is what he says. Dim Dorba, he says, it's clear to me. Number two. It's clear to me from the release clause that we just read in the Shulchan Aruch now, that we just read, of the defected article, says the Masham from there. Dim Dorba, Dorba, Shadaka, La Sosa. The Kulama Potter. Then, if you do something which is normal, you are released. That's what we see from the defected article case. Choi Esher Liptuk Akhlov. Even although you could have checked it, you're still released. In Cain, so here also. Hachin Nami Benidon Zadon. So also in our case. Shur Omer Limko. Something I deliver you for you, which is I delivering to a retailer. He's going to sell. V'tarke b'chach, tomitz. V'ein emabkin amashke b'amishkel ki ma'amin la'socha. And he doesn't bother weighing it. He believes that the seller has sent him the right weight. And therefore he's potter because he's doing something which is normal. Aye, everyone's pointing out it's not exactly the same as our case. Our case is of the Shulchan Aruch. Is where the owner himself delivered it and told him to do whatever he's normal to do. But here, there is an intermediary. So how can the Masham compare the two? How can the Masham say, not only in the case where the owner gave you the article and you did something normal, you're still released, then also if the owner himself didn't deliver it, and it was a mistake of the delivery boy, also you're released if you damage it in a normal, acceptable way, and that's what's called normal. To sell it even without weighing is called normal in this category.
Maybe different nowadays than maybe from my son's time.
Why? What's the difference?
Maybe in those days they weren't really particularly talking about when they relied on each other. Now they're not.
I'm not discussing that. I'm discussing another issue. It's how can the Masham say it's the same as the Shulchan Aruch when the Shulchan Aruch's case was a release from the owner himself? Here, it was the delivery boy who made the mistake. The owner himself didn't even know that it was given over in such a fashion. So you have to say, like something like that, that since he's a therefore he's a representative of the owner in these issues, and therefore he's relying on his representative to make these decisions, and therefore whatever you do, I stand behind your decision. If you make good things, then I have to honor them. If you make bad things, I also have to honor them. Like we see often, you go to the supermarket, yes, you take something off the shelf, it's priced wrongly. Who made that mistake? Put the price on the, whoever put the price on, the person, the worker in the shop, priced wrongly. It's priced 10 shekel instead of 15 shekel. You go to the counter, they tab it in, hey, it's 15 shekel. Oh no, it says 10 shekel. They give it for 10 shekel. They have to. There's even a choke, a law that came out there. They do have to. They do have to. But it's not only because of that, it's because they can make decisions, even though he's not the owner in the house. He said, I have to honor the mistakes as well of my workers as well. No, not true, but according to the law, which ends up being a minhag now, is that the price labels overrides the price which is on the bar. No, you can't. You can't. You can't. No, you can't, sir. No. So therefore, here also we have to say the Masham is telling us a chiddush that not only when the owner himself sells the article, and therefore he's giving you outright permission to treat it like yours and damage it in the normal way as an owner of an article does, but even if his representative sells you an item, gives you an item, you can damage it in a way which is acceptable for a buyer. And the owner has to stand behind any decision which his representative makes. That's the Masham's Chiddush. And the question is, okay, we can hear the Chiddush. But where's before I ask my question, and you can ask, you know, the question is, okay, we can hear the Chiddush. It's a Chiddush, we can hear it working. But where's the source that the Masham gets it from, that the Chiddush is got a Raya Mechachas, that yes, the Chiddush is true, yes, logically yes, but is there a source in Shulchan Aruch that actually backs up what we're saying? Now everyone's a Boki in Shulchan Aruch over here, so you should know. Shulchan Kamosa normally is for good things, yes, but not for bad things. Martin, you're going to ask something. What do you mean? But if he damages, we're not talking about the sale being a bad sale. We're not talking about the sale being something. We're talking about damages. You're right. As far as if it's still around, he has to return it, and he has to get his money back, or he has to add more money. Fine. But he damaged it. Not around. We're talking about in halachas of damages. Not in halachas of onah. So in fact, we have a source in Shulchan Aruch. And this is now introduction to our next case. Let's discuss the sources like this. Somebody says to his friends, Shofer Kalev Shoploni Amanash Ata Potter, you know, go ahead and break Eric's tie, and don't worry, I'll release you from the damages. Yeah. Bishovro, and he went ahead and broke it. Of course, he has to pay Eric for the tie he broke. Because the person who told him to break it is not the owner. Rather be Shoto, who chayev the shalom. Even though obviously the one who did it, who broke the tie, he had to pay, the one who told him is also gets an avera for leading him up the wrong path. He helps people do avera, encourages people to do avera. But the one who had to pay is the one who broke the tie, even though he was told to break it and said, I'll release you, because he wasn't told by the owner. Says the smart. Chayiv, why is it chayiv? Kiven shiyoze hamashbi shu shachaveo. Since he knew that he was breaking Eric's tie, even though it wasn't Eric who was telling him to break it, he knew he was breaking somebody else's tie. So of course he's going to be chayiv. But what's the implication of that? That if he didn't know that he was breaking Eric's tie, he thought he was breaking the tie of Reuven who told him to break it, then even ends up being Eric's tie, he's not chayv to pay. So even if it's not the owner who's telling you to go ahead and do damage to the article, you still, nevertheless, are off the hook. You're off the hook. I walk in the streets, you see glasses on the floor. There's someone called Reuven standing next to the glasses, and he says to Shimon, hey, you want to have some fun? Break these glasses, I'm not interested in anyone. Break them. Breaks them. Ends up being, wasn't Reuven's glasses, somebody else's glasses. He's off the hook, says the smart. He didn't know it was somebody else's glasses. So we hear from here a basis for what the Masham is saying. As we see from this case, even more than the Masham is saying. Because even if he's not the Shliach, we see from the Shulchan Aruch, has no connection to the owner, but he tells somebody to break an article, and the guy doesn't know he's breaking somebody else's article, he's still off the hook. He doesn't have to pay for damage. Okay? So, therefore, based on that, we have a makar, more of a makar than the Masham actually said, and therefore the halacha is, in the meat, at this stage, is that he doesn't have to pay for that 10 kilo. Didn't damage, he didn't get any benefit from it, he sold it as 35. He damaged the 10, because he put it in a place where it no longer exists. And he doesn't have to pay for damage, because he was told to do this. Who told him? Not the owner, his agent. And even if he wasn't the agent, we have a source in halacha that you're off the hook if somebody gives you an article and you assume that it's his, then you're off the hook. Okay. Maybe there's a machlokeshushen. Okay. And that's it. There's yeshliach. In such a case, since he doesn't know, shogeg.
The buyer came back and said, you gave me too much meat, here's extra money. Who keeps the money?
Of course, any benefit you get from it, you have to pass it on. Okay? You didn't get any benefit. Now let's go on to another case. This is a case that came to, basically not so many years ago. I think it's about 3 years ago. It was a famous case, a Yudua case, that went round. Everybody didn't was talking about this case. A woman phones up what they call him, somebody who, like, if you're locked out of a house, you call a locksmith. Okay. Calls up Rochel, calls up a locksmith and says to the locksmith, I'm shut outside my house. I left my keys in my house. My husband is not in the country at the moment. It's raining outside. I have children and I need someone to come and open my house up. Okay. So the locksmith dropped everything for a woman in need, and he ran to do the job at hand. And he was successful in opening up the house. He entered, he took out his calling card and put it down on the table, as he's knowing that every place he goes he leaves his advertisement, and he leaves the happy woman, relieved woman, behind. Turns out that she wasn't the wife of the owner of the house after all. She was one of these very ingenious Ganovim. And she cleared out the house of its contents. Whose house did it belong to? A diamond dealer, who was abroad at the time, and that was every whole story had a bit of truth in it. Yes, the owner of the house was abroad at the time. He came back to the house, and it was totally robbed of its contents. And he sees the cards on the table of the locksmith. He phones up the locksmith and says, "How did your card get here?" And the whole story is revealed. Now we're in Basin between the owner of the house and the locksmith. Lady, yeah, where is she? The claim is, you owe me $1.5 million. Mr. Locksmith. I was just doing a kind deed. I was saving a woman in distress with children. With children. She had children next to her when she came. She had children. What was I supposed to do? $1.5 million for doing a chesed. Yes, you damaged me. Now, based on what we learned up to now, what do you think? Do you think there's a room for the claim, or not a room for the claim over here? Let's take part one of the shayla before the $1.5 million question. What about the door which he broke? Is he chayav to pay for the damages of the door? The locksmith? Yes.
This is where I come from.
What did we just learn from the Shulchan Aruch and the Sma? What did they say just now? Shulchan Aruch said, and the Sma learned, which we would learn out from there, if I come along and say to you, "Hey, my glasses are on the street, I'm not interested anymore," break them, I'm not going to charge you. You break them, and I'll be, "Hey, it's not my glasses, it's my friends, my ex-friends over there." You're off the hook. So here also, well, could you apply that over here and say the locksmith's off the hook for breaking the door? Yeah. She's standing next to the door, like Reuven standing next to the glasses. She's saying, "This is my door, go ahead and break it." Reuven's saying, "Don't break my glasses." He breaks it, he opens the door and breaks the door. You're off the hook who broke the glasses, even ends up being not your glasses. You're off the hook, Mr. Locksmith, for breaking the door, even though it wasn't your her door. Yeah, lachaya, the same halacha as the meat should come out. Because even if you're not a shliach, you're off the hook if somebody tells you to break something. Okay, if you don't know better. So let us see in the Sivas over here. Zehine. Im hoya munach chepet shel Reuven etzel Shimon. Reuven has his glasses by Shimon. Vatar Reuven, and Reuven, who owns the glasses, makes a mistake. Vasovu shel Shimon. He thinks his glasses, which are by Shimon, are actually Shimon, even though they're his. And he tells Shimon, you know, these glasses which are by you are your glasses, they're not my glasses. Based on that, Shimon says, I don't want one of these out of fashion glasses, I'm going to give it to the goy as a present. The halacha is, says the Nesivos, Chayiv Shimon Lishalem. Shimon is chayv to pay for the damages of putting Reuven's glasses to the goy. Why? The yosa yesh le'otam lizaher shlo yazik melo shlo yuzik. A person has to be more careful to cause damage than to encourage damage or to get damaged. Mali, and therefore, Mali, Shahitzis, Hoysa, Dai, Atha, Dai, Balachomets. What's the difference? If somebody tricked you into damaging somebody else's article, well, of course you're Chayev. Where the owner himself told you to damage the article by mistake, where you're also going to be Chayev. What's the Nesivos saying? He's blowing up all our halachos that we've learnt. He's saying in the space of four lines, that the owner himself tells you, it's not mine, it's yours. And you go based on that and damage the article, you're chayv to pay. Course again, says Nesivos, somebody else, who's not even the owner, told you to damage, you're chayv to pay. What do we have over here? We have a Nesivos who says clearly that you're chayv to pay in such a case. What's this? Yes, that's one question.
I gave it to you, so
you can. Yeah. Firstly, what's this for? Secondly, if so, we have a machlokas between the Nesivos and Sma in the halacha, both in our case of the bosa, according to the Nesivos, of the meat, and in the case which we're discussing with the locksmith, both of them should be chayv according to the Nesivos. And what's done the Svar of the Nesivos? Yeah. A very difficult Nesivos to understand, but something we have to deal with because we're asking, halakhically, is the person who broke the locks chayv or not based on this Nesivos? Seems to be yes. Okay, you're saying good. You have to finite it in order to get it. Okay. Okay. We're going to introduce our next case, and you have to think about it, and that will answer both cases. Okay, let's move on to our third case tonight. Now, Reuven is looking for an apartment to buy. He turns to an agent. The agent says, you're looking to buy? Perfect. I have a perfect apartment. What do you want? 4 rooms? Yeah, good. In this building, number 10. Okay, so they go and visit the apartments. The agent has the keys, of course. The owner's in America. The agent is selling it on his behalf, showing him around. He likes the apartments. They come to contract by the lawyers, and they sign on the apartments, and they buy the apartments. Now, of course, when you buy an apartment, natural thing to do is she puts him. Yep. So they get the gablam round, and they ask him to do a good job for them. And he do. He smashes everything out, pulls everything out, and starts building anew. That's how the best thing to do. Okay. Shimon turns up one day at the apartment. Shimon. No. Shimon turns up one day at the apartment and says, "What are you doing to my apartment? What's going on over here?" The Kablan gets nervous and calls Reuven. Reuven comes around. And Shimon says, "This is my... What do you mean it's your apartment? I bought this apartment." What has happened? What has happened? It's a true story. It's a true story. What happened? The agent had two apartments in his... this building. He had keys to both apartments. Apartment number 6, apartment number 4. One was for rent, and one was for sale. The agent got confused. He showed the one for rent as for sale. So, the person who bought it thought he's buying the apartment, which he saw. In fact, the one he bought was apartment number 4. Downstairs, not apartment number 6. So now we have a claim for damages. Obviously, the apartment owner, number 6, Shimon, is saying, "You ruined my apartment over here. I want you to pay for all the damage you did. Or at least complete the work and maybe I'll be happy with it. I turn it back to normal." Thousands of shekels worth of damage. Hundreds of thousands. Has he got a claim of damages here? What's his claim back of defense? "I was told to damage it." No, he's suing the one, the Kaplan, and the... Yes. No, the realtor didn't damage it. He caused the damage. But the one to damage it is the one who thought he bought it, i.e. Reuven, and the Kaplan. Yeah. What mess does Kaplan can get in some days? Yeah. So the silent is, "Well, I was told to damage it." Who told you to damage it? Not the lawyer. Not the seller of the pub number 4. Who told you to damage this? The agent. What's the agent got to do with it? You damaged me. I'm owners. I'm the ultimate owner of this high person. Okay. So, time's out. We have 3 cases to think about. Till?
The first case happened
next week.
Yesterday. I got a shipment of tiles for a client, and they arrived on 3 mishtachim full of tiles, arrived on the street. I got the crane to lift it up to the apartment, and a worker took it from the merpeset, unloaded it into a separate room. We started tiling the next morning, and we tiled 6 or 8 tiles that were all white, and then they opened up the next block, and they were brown. Were they going to call me? I found out they're supposed to be brown tiles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The white ones were laid already, and they were, it turns out to be incorrectly shipped. We subsequently found it too.
Oh, there you go. These things happen every day.
And you can check it out. I mean, there's 2 mishtachim with like 70 meters of tiles, and each one is... And Arabs don't read, you know, Spanish writing on the side of the boxes.
Okay.
You do read Spanish
writing. Mr. Sen? We'll see each other next week. Okay.
Is that familiar? You speak to your wife.
Sell the meat to sell.
You're the client, mister.
But it's normal to sell meat to Wang. It's normal to break it down.
I know. That's what happened. The first one, your wife.
It's not normal to sell.
I told your wife about this. You guys don't talk to me.
You did something that's not normal to do.
Nobody sells it, correct?
Nobody sells it. It's my Wang. Nobody sells it. You have to speak.
Let's say who the person is selling.
Well, he would have been paid for 45 kilos. He wouldn't have sold 35 kilos to 45. He would have sold at 35, or he would have kept selling them, and he would have sold to 45. So, okay, I made a lot of profit. He said, here's the money on the plan. He wouldn't have had any problem turning paying back in the tent.
Correct, exactly.
Because he would have sold it for 45.
And if he would have given a special to him, he does sometimes. He says, buy 50 of them.
Because he says, I'm going to